Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Well, thank you again for joining me. This is Dr. Fred, and this is another episode of Study, Grow, Know, as the announcer introduced. Now, this one is Government Mandates Part 3. And at the top of the transcript, as usual, I've got a number of links that I've put there for your benefit. Use discernment. Do the research. You determine what you want to read, if anything, and how you want to research. Well, in this short series, we've highlighted the mandate that's related to the CV-19 vax from the Biden administration. And we've noted several things, including the fact that this particular CV-19 vax is yet to be fully approved by the FDA, and it is still experimental. Many medical professionals are referring to the vax as gene therapy, as it doesn't work like any other previous vaccine, with one of the biggest issues being its ability to cross the blood-brain barrier. All of the previously produced vaccines remained in the shoulder muscle, but the CV-Vax apparently travels throughout the body via the bloodstream. I'm including a link, and that's also, of course, in the transcript that I included in the last article, God Still Judges Nations, in the hopes that anyone just joining us will view it and even download it. It is called Why You Should Not Get the CV-Vax. That's a PDF of a PowerPoint. Very important read. So that's in the transcript. There have been no long-term studies on this injection, though the MSM tries to tell us that the studies have been ongoing since the early 2000s. The problem is that there were no real studies on people. So the fact is that the clinical trials are happening now, and they will continue, according to Pfizer documentation, until January 2023. I also noted previously that there are legal issues related to Biden's mandate that may be overcome, though I'm not holding out much hope for that, since the Democratic left has the upper hand not only in Congress, but in the Supreme Court and in the DOJ. Now, even if Congress successfully passes a bill that protects people from the mandate, I'm going to assume that Biden would veto it, which would then require a two-thirds vote of Congress to override his veto, and that probably won't happen. It seems obvious to me and many others that there is something more going on than simply a pandemic. We are literally being forced to submit to a medical procedure that has serious questions attached to it. And moreover, it appears as though the federal government is literally blackmailing businesses to force their employees to submit to the CV-Vax, or that business will be fined thousands and thousands of dollars. Why? Is it all due to health and safety? I'm one who doesn't believe this to be the case. I'd like to read for you, and you can see these in the transcript, but there is a three-part tweet tweeted out by an individual, and he says this in his first tweet. Update: my employer is forcing unvaxxed to get weekly COVID tests until November 1st when vax is required or termination. I teach virtually. Did at-home test to appease. Next week, I must go for the test, I'm told. Stated that I will not go to a test site where sick people are. His second tweet, for a test I don't need to expose myself to illness when I pose no risk to anyone at the college as I teach from home. If I were COVID positive, I would be told to simply stay home, which is what I was doing in the first place. Third tweet. That I have to explain this to academics in higher education is a prime example of just how insane society has become over the past 2 years. I swear this vax is decimating brain cells. People were not this stupid before. I'm sure I would have noticed. Well, I think that that's very, very true. Another person on social networks says this: why is it that people accept the number of deaths from COVID without question, but question the number of deaths from the vaccine? The COVID deaths were never subjected to this much investigation, were they? Couldn't agree more with her. If we look at what is in the offing, We can see a clear picture emerging of what's coming. They want us vaxxed, or your job could be literally stripped away from you. They've also talked about a vaccine passport coming down the pike, which in all likelihood will end up being digital on phones, a phone app. It'll be an app on your phone, which you will be made to show whenever you try to go to some public venue. Why? Is the pandemic really that bad that this needs to occur? There's obvious disagreement over it. The lunacy of the left is about controlling people, not health and safety. As the three images, and I read those images to you, they're included in the transcript. Why would a person who works from home be required by his employer to get a vax? It makes absolutely no sense except to the left, which showcases their lack of critical thinking ability daily. If everyone is vaxxed, then everyone will be issued a digital passport. But after the digital passport, then what? What's the obvious next step? Well, could it be a social credit score for each person? I think so. That might not happen right away because the infrastructure is not completely in place yet, but I wonder how quickly China got their social credit grading system in place. Everyone in China is graded, and that grade changes for better or worse daily, many times throughout the day, depending upon the decisions made by the individual person. There are people who work in large buildings in China whose job it is to adjust the grade of every person in China. Maintaining a good high score gives the person more freedoms and privileges. A lower score does the exact opposite. So the question is this type of system coming to the USA? Well, if we take just a quick look at Revelation 16:2 and 19:20, it suggests that it may not be that far off into the future. Clearly, from those two texts, and I'll let you read those on your own time, it turns out that without the coming mark of the beast, no one will be able to buy or sell. Why does the Antichrist need that much control over everyone? Well, it should be obvious that this is always the way dictators work. They must gain and have and keep control over as much as possible. And that certainly includes people, in order to continue their iron grip on society. Without that iron grip, they'll always be in danger of losing control. And if they lose control, they can be overthrown. Antichrist will be fully empowered by Satan. We've talked about that before. And by the way, for those people who think, well, you know, the Antichrist it's a conglomeration of a lot of people. Paul didn't think so. In 2 Thessalonians 2, he talks about the man of sin, or depending on the translation, the son of perdition. We're talking about one individual. John, in his three letters, he talks about the Antichrist and then refers to the fact that many have already come. And I firmly believe that Satan has had a person who would qualify to be the Antichrist in every generation simply because he is not omniscient and has no clue when the Antichrist will be allowed on the scene by God. He doesn't know, so he has to be prepared all the time, which is why we've had people like Hitler, Stalin, Mussolini, and then way back, Antiochus Epiphanes in 168 BC. All those people are types of Antichrist, but the Antichrist is still to come. So this guy who is still on his way, who has not been revealed yet, will be fully empowered by Satan, and that will give him the ability to use marvelous signs and wonders and deception to deceive the masses. The difference between then and now is that many of us understand what's coming, and we see shades of it or the beginnings of it happening now. And because we see what's coming, we're on our guard, and we are aware of the possibility that what is happening now with respect to CB19 situation, things could quickly move to the point of no return, where people throughout society, including those of us in the USA, will be little more than cattle, shuffled here, directed there, given freedom and privileges there, and those freedoms and privileges taken away in another situation. We will be controlled. Most are aware of what's happening in Australia, and we look aghast at the way law enforcement and politicians are treating Australians there. We might be tempted to think that that could never happen here in the USA, or maybe your country if you're not from the USA. But here in the States, we've learned that apparently the CDC believes it has the authority to treat Americans just like the way the Australians are being treated there. And in an article titled, CDC claims it has the authority to use police to do everything you see going on in Australia, and Congress agrees, and again, there's a link in the transcript. This is what it says in part, quote, according to the CDC website, Congress granted authority to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, which then delegated this power to the CDC to establish quarantine and isolation protocols, that is, internment camps, right? The CDC also claims it has the right to use state and local police to enforce these protocols. The CDC makes no bones about the nature of its assumed powers when it states rather bluntly the following. In addition to serving medical functions, isolation and quarantine are also police power functions derived from the right of the state to take action affecting individuals for the benefit of society. The federal government derives its authority for isolation and quarantine from the Commerce Clause of the U.S. Constitution under Section 361 of the Public Health Service Act, 42 U.S. Code 264. The U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services is authorized to take measures to prevent the entry and spread of communicable diseases from foreign countries into the United States and between states. That's very important. The authority for carrying out these functions on a daily basis has been delegated to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. That's the CDC. Now, that's interesting. And especially the second to the last thing I read about foreign countries. Gee, think Nazis, fascism, jackboots, brown shirts, or anything else that comes to mind that from history reminds us of just how certain governments came to treat their citizens, and we're seeing it happen today. I find the above fascinating, though, when we set that alongside the fact that around 15,000 Haitians were just allowed into the country, the United States, and another 40,000 are said to be on their way. Does what's described above include them? All of the above is based on the idea that CV-19 is so horrific that unless the government, CDC in this case, takes these steps to ensure health and safety of all people in the USA, they want us to believe that CV-19 would wipe out all or most of the population here. That's what they want us to believe. This then, they say, justifies the use of forcibly kidnapping people and putting them in quarantine camps if the need arises, just like they are doing in Australia. And here's another quote from the website. As part of its federal authority, CDC routinely monitors persons arriving at the U.S. border crossing, land border crossing, and passengers and crew arriving at U.S. ports of entry for signs and symptoms of communicable diseases. Now, that to me harkens back to the days of Ellis Island, where you come into the United States, but you had to get here through an entry port like Ellis Island, and many people were turned away over their lack of health. Well, anyway, apparently this same CDC doesn't apply this because they've shown no concern over the 15,000 Haitians, as there was absolutely no sign that the CDC bothered to monitor any of them. If they had, surely that would have been in the news, right? We are quickly moving toward the fascist ideal of controlling everything about society, the people, movement, purchases, everything. And from where I sit, it doesn't look pretty at all. How about you? Have I veered off, do you think, into conspiracy theory area? Or is there a sense in which what I'm saying could very well occur based on what has already happened? And I'd like to remind readers that the vivid descriptions of what happens throughout the earth in the book of Revelation are not metaphor or hyperbole, at least not the way I understand it. While I fully realize there are many who see the book as essentially allegorical with what is happening now in society, it appears that it may be more literal than folks want to acknowledge. We're ramping up for something, folks. What is absolutely asinine about all of what the CDC states on their website is that they show absolutely zero interest in doing things to, quote, detain, medically examine, and release persons arriving into the United States and traveling between states who are suspected of carrying these communicable diseases, unquote. They're just not doing that. If they had, they would have done so with the recent Haitians that arrived to Del Rio. But they didn't. Instead, they were transported by bus in the evening to numerous hotels, and I'm hearing that it's Homewood Suites that has a huge contract with the government, where they are housed and fed at the U.S. taxpayers' expense. If the CDC was truly interested in stopping CV, or at least slowing the spread, they wouldn't have allowed this to happen. They would have turned the Haitians away at the border, just like they turned the Cubans away. But they didn't, did they? And they turned the Cubans away. Why? Well, think about that. There's a real good reason that they've done that. Now, all of this leads me to believe it's not about our health and safety. If you still think that, I'm sorry. I feel for you. It's not. It's about control. And by the time the world gets to Revelation chapter 16 and 20, global society will all be under the control of one totally evil individual. Do people really think that'll happen in one day? Isn't it more logical to think that getting to Revelation 16 and 20 will happen steadily, incrementally over time until the world is finally there? However, while all of this is actually bad news, I'd like to point out that there is much reason to be thankful and to praise the Lord for his goodness in spite of what is happening in society. Blessings are available to those who are authentic Christians and who are in the practice of submitting themselves to him and his will regularly. There are many who will probably not take this route, but they'll try to fight in their own strength and they'll end up sorely disappointed and overcome. Christians need to draw close to God, and this can only be done by our constant submission to him and fellowship with other solid practicing believers. I don't know of any other way. Do you? If you're not one who actively does this, I'd like to note that it's not too late to start. During these difficult and trying days, it truly is important that Christians understand that God has his purposes that he will bring to fruition. And even when that means allowing Satan to gain more of a foothold in society, God's will still marches on. For those who align themselves with God's will, the benefits will also come our way. I'd like to encourage everyone to view a recent video from Pastor J.D. Farrakh. And again, that's linked in the transcript. And he pastors a church in Hawaii. The video highlights many but God moments, right? From Christians who have experienced God's gracious leading and provision during these tumultuous times as they faced potential job loss from their unwillingness to take the CV-19 jab. A number of them were fired, but God provided miraculously. Others were not fired and were essentially told they had nothing to worry about. Also, a miracle. I believe it is extremely important for us to understand what God is doing. And as I noted in my last article about Nahum and Habakkuk, God still judges nations. That's the name of the article. And that's what he still does. Is he getting ready to judge the USA? I don't know. But it certainly seems as though we're definitely moving in that direction. We appear, in fact, to be on the precipice. In spite of what is here and coming to the USA and the world, God is still working among his anointed. The testimonies of Christians, one after the other, prove how gracious and loving God is for those who, and this is very, very important, trust in him and submit to his will to be discovered. In the end, does it really matter what the government mandates? For those who are confounded and confused by what is taking place in society, I suggest that the only real solution to this problem is to throw ourselves on Christ. And with that, I'm going to leave you, but I wanted to let you know that we are heading out of town today. We're driving to another state, which is going to take about 15 hours to get there. I have to inter the cremated remains of my parents in a gravesite that was purchased before my mother's death. So if you'll pray for God's mercies on our travels, I would really appreciate it. And we'll be back sometime next week to conclude this or to continue on with other topics. So until we meet again, I pray that God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in Him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.